when they're in school. They're around a lot of germs. Today when I came out, there was a little boy just getting off the bus, and he just got sick and threw up everywhere right, you know, with around all the kids. And I thought, oh, no. But I prayed. I said, oh, Lord, just cover them, keep them from this flu, because there's so many types of flu going around. We really do need to pray. And I think that's the reason why the Lord has laid this on my heart, what we're going to talk about tonight. And, you know, Sunday night I sung that song, that little chorus the Lord had laid on my heart Sunday about in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. And I had not heard that song in years. But it just kept coming to me, and I've really been singing it this week, and I've been thinking about the name of Jesus. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is the power in the name of Jesus. And it's just, I thought, well, Lord, I know that you're speaking this to me, because we're living in a time now where we just can't be half in and half out. We're going to have to be powerful. We're going to have to get a hold of something that's going to help us to be what he wants us to be. So let's pray again. I know Jack just prayed, but I want to submit myself to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for everybody that's gathered in your name. We thank you, Lord, because you said in your word, where two or three are gathered, you are in the midst. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, and we thank you for health, and we thank you for touching all the folks that are sick, God, and that are not able to be here. But you know everything before, God. Who's coming? Who needs what? And Lord, you've spoken to our hearts, and I submit myself to you, God, in every way, soul, mind, and body. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive what you would say. And God, that you would speak just what they need to hear, and not what I say, but what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, it's been probably 3 weeks ago, when I was coming out from the school. I had dropped Jordan off, and I had stopped at the red light coming out on the road. And I'm not going to say that the Lord spoke to me, but I know that it was the Holy Ghost. He dropped this into my spirit. This is what I heard. I was just sitting there, and I heard, my people are called by my name. And so I thought, you know, that's real familiar, Lord. You know, we quote that all the time around here, 2 Chronicles, where it says, if my people whom are called by my name would repent and, you know, call on the Lord. And immediately when I thought that, it was just like I heard it again. My people are called by my name. And so I just started praying on the way home. I said, well, Lord, you're trying to speak something to me, and I want it. Whatever it is you're trying to tell me, Lord, just bring it on to me. I want to know what you're trying to tell me, because I know it's going to be a help to me. And so I began to research, and it's probably been 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I didn't know if I'd share it or not. I didn't know what the Lord would have me to do. But anyway, the name of Jesus carries a tremendous power. Now, it doesn't matter if you feel it or not, or whether you walk in it or not, this power is not a feeling, it's a fact. It's what the name of Jesus is, what he gave us, left us. And it's not just a magic word. You know, we know that it's not how you say it, or how you use it, or even how you hear it. Because people all the time are speaking Jesus' name in vain. And they're not a bit afraid, and they're not fearful of God. They can blaspheme God. They can use that. They can call Jesus whatever they want to call him. And now in our country, they're trying to just annihilate the name of Jesus. They don't want to hear it. They don't want nothing to do with it. Faith, understanding, and believing, obedience, and dedication in the name of Jesus is what releases the power. It's not, like I said, how we say it or how loud we holler when we use the name of Jesus or the circumstances that we use it in. It's whether or not we understand and believe what we're doing, understand the word. His name, the name in both Greek and Hebrew, notes a mark of identification of a person or a thing. If you notice sometimes when you need credibility and you go for certain things in your life, they will ask you about your family. They will ask you your father's name sometimes. And used to, I know this is a fact, your name and your reputation carried a lot of weight in the community. And, you know, if your name was so-and-so, they'd say, oh, they got a lot of money. Or if your name was so-and-so, they'd say, don't trust them. And, you know, and but anymore, you can't really base anything on that. It's just like, you know, when you gave your word a long time ago, people could trust that and believe it, that it was true. But that doesn't work altogether like it used to either. So the Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is chosen rather than great riches. So it is important to have a good name. And the name also applies. It describes the individual character and the authority. Jesus got his name from the Heavenly Father. In Matthew, the first chapter in the 21st verse, and this is so appropriate since it's coming Christmas, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior or Deliverer. In Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11, let's look at that. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, we know that Jesus has many names, as far as the Lord said when he was born to call him Jesus. But he has, he's referred to in the Bible in a lot of different ways. And we've heard it. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Savior. He's the Redeemer, the Bright and Morning Star, the Beautiful Rose of Sharon, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Lion of Judah, the Son of God. In all the different scriptures, even in the Old Testament, when it refers as prophecy to Jesus, it'll name him Emmanuel, which is a lovely name. All kinds of names. But the power is what we're talking about tonight that comes with, and the authority in his name. He's trying to bring us back as a body of believers and his people to the reality of that name, Jesus, so we can have power and authority to operate as he has called us. He wants us to be effective, and he wants to have us joy unspeakable, full of glory. And, you know, everybody's just a little bit short on that sometimes. But, you know, it is contagious. It is. 2 Timothy Chapter 1, verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we are called and chosen by him. A lot of people think they're insignificant. They don't have a place in the body. They don't have a work to do. But he has called. There's another scripture that says, many are called, few are chosen. And to me, that means, I'm not saying this is the definition, but it means he does call us, but few chose to follow him. And sometimes even the ones that choose to follow him, they follow him afar off. Isaiah 43:7 says that, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. He chose us. He formed us. He's making and molding us. And he's doing all of this to bring glory to him, that people might be saved and delivered and set free. Do you realize that a lot of Christian people do not know that they have power and authority in Jesus' name over the circumstances in their own lives, in their home? And they're good Christian people. And they come to God's house. And they've equipped themselves with different things like we all do. We have a Bible cover. We take care of the Word. And, you know, it's got scriptures on it. And we carry around a little bottle of anointing oil. It's in our pocket or our purse. And it came from Israel. It's pure olive oil. Uh-huh. And we got prayer shawls. We have a fish emblem on the bumper of our car or on our car somewhere, representing, letting people know that we are Christians. We have little minister plates that we put on our car showing that we're part of the clergy. We have bumper stickers. We wear T-shirts with Jesus' picture on the front and scriptures on the back. We have little crosses on our keychain and around our neck and just here, there, and everywhere, hanging on our walls at home. And we attend prayer meetings, and we even raise our hands to worship. But according to statistics, and I know the Lord knows every one of us as we are, the majority of the church lives a powerless life. They do not use the authority that Jesus has given us in his name to use. They don't take authority in their home. They don't take authority over sickness. They don't take authority over the enemy when he comes in to destroy and tear things up. They just take it as part of everyday life. And we've had a tendency to all get into that category. And he must be very sad with us to think that he has given us such power in his name, and we're just not picking up, we're not stepping up to the plate as we should, because we should have power and do have power over sickness, over death even. See, to use someone's authority is an honor. It really is a blessing. And to use someone's given authority, the person that's given it has to have something to back it up. See, my name's not Welch. It is Welch because I married Jack, but I wasn't born a Welch because my blood name, my heritage, my father's name is Mays. So I married Jack, and I have certain liberties and authority that Jack has allowed me to have. When I go to the bank, I take his check. He worked for it. It has his name on it. But because I'm his spouse, they let me have the money. Is that not wonderful? That's what I call more than a conqueror. He has given me these things. He has given the right to do these things because he. You trust me, don't you, honey? That's called delegated authority. And Jesus gave us the written word right here. This is the power of attorney. And we all understand about what the power of attorney does. If we have that, we can do things. I found out from working in a public place that that power of attorney is nothing but a homewrecker. It breaks up siblings and it causes more division. Because when I worked in the electric company, and they would come in there with the power of attorney, and they'd have somebody's electricity turned off, and then you had to deal with about six of the siblings that didn't know nothing about it. And when they found out that so-and-so had the power of attorney, then it was a big fight. And everybody would go to try to have it turned back on, and it was already off. And, you know, and they had to bring, before they had a say-so in what they did, they had to bring that power of attorney. And, of course, we had to take a copy of it and keep it in the file. So that power of attorney is very important. So when Jesus left, he left the written word to us. And that's his power of attorney for us. We have the authority in his name if we will execute it. In the first chapter of Acts, he was talking to them, and he told them, he said, I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father. But he said, after I leave, he told them what to do, to go to the upper room there, to go in, to tarry there in Jerusalem, and they would receive power when the Holy Ghost came upon them, power to witness. Well, it happened. They went. They received that power, and we're a witness to that also. So what he told them was truth. We can take the word of God and believe everything that he said because it happened, because we are personal witness. You know, people will read the word of God and they'll say, well, how do you know that's true? You know, this may not just be what you think it is. Well, there are some people that don't accept the word of God as truth, but if you read it long enough, you will recognize it as truth. And that truth will set you free to believe the truth. He didn't only just give us his name. In Romans 8 and 16, it says that we're heirs with Christ. This is a good part too. Romans 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. One big happy family. Whatever it is that the Father has given him, he has given to us. And it's glorious. And all through the New Testament, he's instructing his disciples what he wants them to do. And what he is a disciple and means, you know, for training, you're when you're being discipled. And we've let down on that part in as teachers and workers in the body of Christ. We have failed to disciple people when they get into the body and they get saved. We just sort of think, well, they're okay. Thank God they're saved. We prayed 40 years for them, and we just think they've made it. And they do make it some. But I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of them out there that needs nurturing, where they need to be taken under somebody's wing and helped. And not everybody will ask for help. And, you know, so we have to be available to help those that need it. And we do get help from our pastors and our teachers here, and I thank God for that. He called the disciples, and he commissioned them in the 10th chapter of Luke. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means, nothing, it says, nothing shall hurt you. So we have no room for fear. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, he told them to go forth and heal the sick and cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils. He had a mission for them, as he does for us. Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, 12 through 15, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So everything that he did, we are supposed to be doing. We have his authority in his name to do it. And he will move on it. I've talked to people that have had problems, and they'll say, well, it's such a little thing, I hate to bother the Lord with it. He's probably just shaking his head. Goodness. He said, all this vast supply, everything they need, my grace is sufficient. Everything. He even says in one place that he, you know, will give us the desires of our heart. In the book of Psalms, he said he would perfect the things that concerneth us. So he knows when we get troubled in spirit. He knows what bothers us. He wants us to come to him. He is waiting. It's his good pleasure to do the good things for us. There is great power in the name of Jesus. But with this great power comes great responsibility. He took our place on the cross so that all that he has, that the Father has, could be ours. It was fulfillment of the plan, the redemption plan of God when he went to the cross. He wants us to line up with the Word. He wants us to step out in faith, and he wants us to realize the power and authority he's given us so that we can do the works and greater. You know, in one scripture in the New Testament, it says that the disciples turned the world upside down. When they came into town, it's like the people knew when they came in there was going to be commotion. There's going to be an uproar. There was going to be things happen. They had a reputation because he told them to go to the upper room and receive this power when the Holy Ghost came, and they did. They received it. So they began to act and do what they saw him do, what they knew he was. And that's what we should do. We should take our position in Jesus. We should know our God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We should be doing the exploits. It's about time. It said in the end time, in the book of Daniel, it says that his people would know their God and they would do exploits. That's great and mighty things. It's about time for some great and mighty things, don't you think? I love it when I read about Peter and John in the Acts, the third chapter. The Bible says that they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And I know we've all heard this story a million times, and it is so good. They went to the temple to pray, and there was a lame man laying there at the gate, beautiful. And the Bible says he was crippled from his mother's womb. He had been laying there, asking alms from everybody that came in to the temple to pray, coming and going. And this particular day was his day, because Peter and John came by, and he asked them for alms. And Peter said, "Look on us." Peter knew what he had. He knew the word, and he knew what authority he had. The Bible says in the fourth verse, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." See, it says, fastening his eyes on him with John. In other words, him and John were working together, and they were in agreement. Peter was not doing this on his own. He had his good old buddy John there with him, and he knew that John knew too. "Look on us," he said. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, and the man leaped up. The Bible says, leaping up, he stood up and he walked. I bet they were all surprised. And I bet he was overjoyed because he was leaping and running and jumping. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth and that we are the light of the world. But see, we would never say, "Look on us," because we'd say, "Oh, well, they'll think I got a lot of pride. You know, that's just prideful." Well, it goes back to taking our position in Christ that we have. He said we're the salt of the earth. See, Peter knew exactly what he was. And this might be where we're missing it. We stand in the background, and we act like we're nothing. We're ashamed to get up and proclaim the name of Jesus. Obviously, we're afraid of something. Either that we're not totally got that boldness and courage yet to get out there and speak it in Jesus' name and see the miracles come. We won't take authority over the enemy that we have. We're just too standoffish. But Peter was not like that. Peter knew where he had been, and he many times was spoken of in the New Testament. He denied Christ 3 times. He was very bold, and he was quick. Didn't he jump out of the boat to walk on the water? Didn't he whack the man's ear off in the garden when they come to get Jesus? And Jesus just picked the, you know, put the ear back on for the man. He probably thought, you know, one time he said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, he knew what Peter was like, but nevertheless, he allowed Peter to have this confidence and this power and this authority in his name. Peter said, "Go ahead and look at me. I'm the salt of the earth. Just call me a salt block if you want to. I'm a light pole. I'm the light of the world." Jesus said that. We need to get a little backbone and a little confidence and become what he wants us to be. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's an easy thing to do, but if you really believe the word and you seek him and you dedicate yourself to him and you're obedient to what he says for you to do, that courage does come, that boldness does come. And then you can speak with authority. And it's not you. It's the Holy Ghost and it's the power of God. It totally transformed Peter, didn't it? And probably the other disciples too. There were many of them that were changed. And do you know that in the Bible, the Old Testament, when they got to a place where God did something or God was even going to do something great for them, he changed their name a lot of times. He changed the Apostle Paul's name when he called him on the road to Damascus. And he recognized him and he said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." He told him right then what he wanted him to do, how that he wanted him to go to the people and set them free and minister to them and heal them. The Bible says in 1 John that Jesus came, he was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. So he has great pride in us if we will stand up and take the authority that he has given us in his name. It's just in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, just like that song says. We have the victory. We have the victory. We can't spend no more wasted years trying to get the victory, because Jesus is the victor. He won the victory. The battle's already been fought. We have the victory. The Apostle Paul said, "I thank my God, he always causes me to triumph." We've got to move from the victory to triumph. Now, if we have a problem and we're trying to get through it, it's not like we're going to, I'm not saying deny that you have a problem and ignore it and it'll go away. A lot of folks try that. Well, that don't work too good, I'm telling you. But if you take the problem to the Lord and you say, "I thank you, Lord, that you always cause me to triumph. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I belong to you. I'm heir to the kingdom. Everything you have, I can have." Then things begin to change, and you're not just trying to get it, but we need to take that position, as I said, in the name of Jesus, and realize we've already got it. When we got saved, the little person that came and gave their heart to God and was redeemed by the blood has as much power in God as they want. The Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. In other words, it does not matter how old you are or how young you are in the kingdom. You have the same opportunity. You have the same blessings. We have the same power in Jesus' name to exercise that and to use that and to become great in works by his grace. I know we don't want people looking at us. Sometimes we'd rather just hide. But I don't read anywhere where he called us to hide. He wouldn't even let Jonah hide under the tree, would he? He wouldn't let Elijah hide in the cave. There's been many people that tried to run and hide. Jonah, what about him? Mm-hmm. He tried to get out of what God wanted him to do, didn't he? He had a plan, but his plan kind of blew up. And see, that's why we spend many days of loneliness, many days of sickness, and a barren life, is because we're not willing to obey what God has told us to do. Now, I know there's times when we're being taught, and we may take our time, and we may listen to the word, and we may, you know, even seek counsel before we do things. There's a difference in just saying, I can't do it, and I'm not going to do it, and it's just too much trouble. It's just too much trouble. Because, you know, the flesh and the spirit are always fighting together, so we're fighting that battle. But he's equipped us with everything that we need. Jesus said if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we could ask what we will and it could be done. It would be done by him. That's a positive statement. That's truth. And it does happen. You know, we have people that say, well, I did pray, and I prayed in the name of Jesus, and nothing happened. Well, I've prayed for so long, long, long time, and I haven't seen nothing happen. Nothing's moving. And so you're telling me to pray in the name of Jesus, it's going to make a difference? Well, not if you're not connected. Not if you're not believing it. Not if you're not part of the family. I mean, I could take my neighbor's check to the bank and they'd just look at me. They wouldn't cash it. You know? I could take your check, Becky, to the bank. And they'd say, we don't know you. You know, who are you? What are you doing with this? You know? So just because you use the name of Jesus and speak the name of Jesus and say the name of Jesus doesn't mean that it's going to happen for you unless you're part of his family. See, when Jesus came, he always said, I came to do the will of the Father. He knew exactly what his purpose was. He knew from the beginning when he was born in that manger that he was going, when he, all through his life, that he was here for the purpose of dying on the cross for our redemption. He knew the plan of God, and he was willing right up to the end. Even in the garden, he said, when he prayed in agony, he knew what he had to face. It was hard because he was a man. He was flesh like we are. He felt what we feel. He had passions just like we do. And everybody says, well, no, he didn't, because he wasn't married. Well, the Bible is true, and it says he felt everything. He knew exactly what we would face. He knew that we could or could not walk together, but he told us if we could walk together and agree, you know, that things would work out for us. God made women and made men from the beginning. And it does say he made the woman for the man. And that just kills women. Some of them. But I don't know. We have a place. We all have a place. And God's got a plan. He's got a purpose, even for our children and our grandchildren. And when things are going wrong, we have to just look and say, well, God, you made us the way we are. And we're just going to have to find that plan and get in it and get connected and be part of the family. In the 13th verse of that same chapter, Peter let him know that it wasn't him that was doing it. Even though he was bold, and he said, look on us. Look what he says in the 13th chapter of the third verse. Third chapter, 13th verse, Lisa, I'm sorry. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Remember, they set Barabbas free and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter didn't take any credit. And we can't take any credit. If anybody is blessed by the word we share, it's not what we say or what we do. It's the Lord honoring his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. He wants us to be courageous and strong and start using his name. And it sounds to me like we have a lot of situations where it's time. I'm really glad to have this word. I'm really glad. There's a lot more to it. I just skimmed over the top. I just skimmed over the top and found some good things. But there's a lot more to this. It's a reality. And I got on the internet and was looking up the name of Jesus, and wow, I just had to shut that thing down. See, if you don't know the word, you can go into stuff and read it, and you can get confused, and you can get misled. But I know quite a bit about how people believe in the name of Jesus, and I truly do believe the name of Jesus, but I don't take it out of context, and I don't make a big story out of it. Only the good gospel story. Thank y'all for being here tonight. I know people are sick and weak in body. Let's just continue to pray for them. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. And let's remember that when we come together in his name, that where two or three are, he is in the midst to bless us. And he has given us his name to use, and we need to use it. It's a lot more important than our name, than our last name. You know, you hear people say all the time that people throw their weight around, you know. They want to throw their name out there, and you're supposed to know who they are. They are people out there that put a lot of dependence on what their name is and who they are. But there's no name above the name of Jesus. He's precious to us, and I love him tonight. I appreciate y'all.